Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
I had just started a summer job where I was basically a custodian cleaning the classrooms in preparation for the upcoming school year. My dad worked for the town's district, so he was able to get me this job. I was the youngest one there, as I was only 20 at the time, and there were a handful of people who worked with me. They were usually off doing other tasks like waxing the floors and whatever else they did. The school was completely empty besides the staff who were cleaning. Things were going fine for my first couple of weeks. For the most part, I was on my own, wiping down desks and cleaning while listening to music. It was nice, and I enjoyed not having someone with me all day telling me what to do.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
A few weeks had gone by, and I finished cleaning a couple hallways. It was time to move to the basement where the robotics and woodworking classes were. When I first got down there, I noticed a light was peeking through under the doorway of one of the classrooms. The windows of the classroom were covered with shades. I found this odd since it was summer and nobody was in the building normally. I walked over and peeked in the door window. The lamp was on at the desk, but no one was inside. I proceeded to knock, but no answer. After turning the knob, I realized that the door was locked, so I used my key to open the door. I decided to scope out the room. Maybe somebody had forgotten to turn the lamp off. I disregarded that idea when I noticed the computer at the teacher's desk was on. The screen looked weird. I'd never seen this layout before. The website was all black with red writing on it. It also had a chat box. I didn't have time to see much more than that, because a sudden voice came from the doorway. It was the woodworking teacher returning from the bathroom or something. I realized I had been caught looking at his computer, so I stammered through the conversation, saying how I was just cleaning the classrooms and I didn't know if anybody was in here. He told me that I could skip his room since he would be woodworking all summer, and he said that sawdust would get anywhere anyway, so there was no point in cleaning it. As he said this, he walked over and sat at his desk while closing the browser. Less cleaning was fine by me, so I went to leave the classroom, but before I left, he brought up that he was doing a petition for more funding for the arts and woodworking department. I agreed and signed his petition. The petition required a full name, phone number, email, and address, and there were only two other people that had signed it so far. I had never signed a petition before, so it all seemed normal to me, so I just added my information. I went on working for the rest of the summer and would see him around the hallway by his classroom every now and then, but I never talked to him more than just a hello as we passed by each other. One day, the boss let everyone out early since it was almost 100 degrees. I got home and decided to hang out with some friends. It was a group of us, about 5 or 6. My boyfriend's brother joined us at the time, which was unusual since he's not really a social person. He's really into technology, so he's always on his computer, which he built by himself. He's also good at hacking and stuff like that. Anyways, on this day, he told me that he needed to talk to me, and it was serious. I wasn't close with him at all, so whatever he had to tell me, I felt like it would be legit. He brought me into my friend's living room and pulled out his laptop. To my surprise, he was on the deep web, and he went on to show me that I was up for bid on the dark web. I knew how the deep web worked. I had heard horrible stories about it, but I'd never been on it, so how would my information even be out there? It suddenly clicked, though. The webpage matched with the one that I saw in the classroom about a month back. I had also given my information to that teacher for his petition. I explained this to my boyfriend's brother. He advised me to call the police immediately, which is what we did. They did an investigation on the teacher and found the activity on his computer. Not only that, but he had several other girls' information along with pictures. Some of the girls were minors, too. There were also wooden contraptions they found in his home, which he had made in the shop. He probably planned to use them on these girls, or even me. I was disgusted, but relieved that he was caught. I often wonder what would have happened if the page was never discovered. Would he have kidnapped me and killed me online?
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
I changed my phone number and moved since that incident, but I learned to be more careful with who I give my personal information to. It was 2015 when I was still doing some freelance work, and I was hired by a client to do some improvement to her personal blog. One day, I noticed that the security plugin inside the blog popped up a new alert that the file had been changed. So while checking that, I saw a new administrator account inside the blog which wasn't there about 12 hours ago. I called her on Skype and asked if she gave anyone else access. I was a bit unhappy because new people tend to screw up my workflow. What she told me next was shocking and disturbing. She got a call from her bank account that somebody tried to purchase something using her card, around the amount of $3,000. It was denied because of some authentication error. Her PayPal account sent out almost $1,200 to 3 separate accounts. She got an angry email from a friend who received an email from my client with some slurs in it. Some of her clients left her because of some similar mail that was sent from her email ID. I had heard stories like this before, and I had an idea of what was happening. I gave her an idea of what was going on, and she gave me remote access to her PC. The first thing I noticed was that there were a good number of processes running in the background that didn't come from anything. I tried multiple antiviruses, but it didn't do much. Her personal email ID was hacked, and that ID pretty much had every account she regularly used connected to it, like her Facebook, Twitter, bank, and credit card. I told her to reset everything. It took almost a week to find out the full length of the damage, and she lost around $2,000, which was never recovered. The backstory was she was curious and heard from a friend about the dark web and Tor and downloaded a file from someone inside Tor. She never told me what the file was advertised as or that it was a malware. It sent a lot of data from her computer, and they pretty much had access to her computer. About a month later, when she had left this tragedy behind her and was getting back on her feet, somebody sent her an email with some private photos. The photos were private photos of her and her boyfriend, and they demanded a good amount of money to keep them private or they would leak it online. She was already depressed and going through a rough patch with what happened earlier, so this was the last straw. Her boyfriend was a good person and he supported her through all of this. Her boyfriend was able to really help her out, and she contacted authorities and certain steps were taken. She never paid the blackmailers and none of the photos ended up being leaked. Nobody knows why, but I'm glad they weren't, and I'm glad she's okay now. This happened last year. I was very curious about what the deal was about this dark or deep web stuff. So I went to YouTube to watch a tutorial on how to access the dark web using Android, and I planned on surfing the dark web using my phone. Everything was set. I covered my phone camera with tape, went to my room and locked it, and opened the Wikipedia site for dark web links. Everything was cool, and I went to those normal chat sites where I didn't contribute and just observed.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
I gained some confidence and opened this one creepy anonymous confession site. My faith in humanity vanished away after reading some of the confessions there. Some people commented about people they killed, while others commented about how they tried to kill someone and failed and how they regret it. There was a ton of other graphic things which I honestly don't want to mention. After about an hour of browsing other stuff, I got bored, so I decided to stop, close everything, and delete all the browsing apps I used. I had trouble sleeping for a couple days, but after a few more days, I went back to feeling normal again. I was using WhatsApp to text my friends, and then I got this notification that someone texted me on WhatsApp. It was an unknown number, an international number, and I opened the text not thinking much. I saw this creepy text which said, "Why are you ignoring me?" I got a little tensed as I don't have any friends from abroad, and maybe it was a scam. I ignored it, and the next day I got another text from the same number that said, "You can't ignore me. I'm still here. You can't run away." I was now sure that the number was most likely from the dark web. I figured that they had my phone number and it wouldn't be hard for them to get my address either, and I was worried for my safety. I quickly blocked the number and told my close friends about what happened about the dark web. One of my friends said that the same thing also happened to him within the last year when he surfed the dark web. He said that he blocked the number soon and started getting creepy, deadly calls. He had to change his phone number to stop hearing from them. The next day, I got another text on WhatsApp from another unknown international number. It said, "Why did you block me?" I quickly blocked that number, reported it, and deleted WhatsApp along with all my other social accounts. The next week, I got another text from an unknown international number to my phone number directly, so I did end up having to completely change my number and get a new phone. It ended up being an expensive experience for me, and if somebody offered me money to surf the deep web again, I would never do it. Let me start this off by saying that it's very imperative that you stay off the dark and deep web. No matter what anyone tells you, no good can come from using it, and I'm about to tell you why. I was 15 at the time. I had come home from school on a Friday afternoon, ready to relax, kick back, and enjoy the short break. I had started using code about a year prior. Nothing too fancy, just basic stuff, and I was practicing it daily. Now, I had known about the dark web before this took place. I would sometimes buy weed off it, but that was the extent. This day, however, I decided to venture farther and really look at the dark web. I'm sure that a lot of people are familiar with this iceberg diagram representing the internet's content. For those who don't know, the surface web contains about 10% of the internet's content, while the deep and dark web take up about the other 90%. I was ready to see what it really held. I heard stories about what goes down on the deep web. Murder, inhumane torture, all that stuff. But I really didn't believe that they were all legit, so I hopped on and began to see what I could dig up. Really, I was just curious. I started off by browsing through various websites, most of which contained illegal things, such as drugs, hackers, and hitmen for hire. I clicked on a random forum link, which took about a minute to load. I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was a forum where people could pick a topic they wanted to talk about, such as politics, dealing with mental health, and really whatever. There was one link that caught my eye, though. The link was in all red and the rest were black, and it said, "Not for the weak. Enter at your own risk." Curious as to what it was, I clicked the link, and it brought me to a forum that only had one link on the whole page. I clicked this link, and it brought me to a chat room. I realized that nobody was saying anything in it, only sending links. This set off alarm bells in my head, because I had ideas of what these could possibly be. I wish I had listened to my instincts, which were telling me that I should get off right away. However, the ignorant, curious teen took over me, and I started setting up some protection for myself using the code that I had learned. I later realized this amateur coding I did would not protect me from these advanced people with malicious intent. I clicked on a random link, and a page loaded surprisingly fast. It looked to be another chat room. I went to type hello or something, but it would not let me. I sighed and began moving my mouse to go to the previous page when a noise went off. I had received a chat. The message said, "Hello, new user, I see you have found my site. Would you like to continue?" I tried typing again, but still couldn't. The next message sent chills down my back, and my hands are shaking just recalling it. It read, "No, son, not the keyboard." I tried turning off my computer, but of course, nothing worked. Another message popped up saying, "I guess I'll take that as a no." The screen suddenly changed, and a video began playing. It was a black screen, but I could only hear a deep male voice say, "Unfortunately for you, you do not have a choice." I grabbed a sticky note and put it over my webcam, and the voice on the screen said, "Ah, so we're playing games now, huh?" The video then began to change, and I realized that the man was taking his hand off the camera. He was a short man, but that brought me no comfort. He held up a knife and said, "Name any body part." I then for the first time noticed a cloth in the corner of the room covering something up, which I could only assume to be a body. I rushed to unplug the computer as fast as I could, and I laid on the floor panting for hours until I could finally get up. I now suffer from anxiety, and to anyone else who decides to use the deep web, be safe out there.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a like a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
I've been using the deep web for a few years now. I usually use it only when I can't find certain ebooks on the regular internet. So this one time I was messing around and in the directory looking for useful dark web sites. I found an online service site that claimed to deal in killers, weapons, and stolen things. Needless to say, I was fascinated with it. I've seen regular e-commerce websites, and I wondered how similar one that exists for mostly illegal activities would look. So, as it loaded, I got a pop-up from the browser saying that it had prevented the website from using this function and that. And suddenly, my webcam light lit up. It was basically like a bad jump scare for me. There, I was trying to look at a website which is probably operated by some criminal organization, and for all I know, they have my face stored away somewhere for reference in the compilation of future kill lists. I exited the browser and shut down my computer so fast. I was impressed at the speed which I did it in. That's how scared I was. This was in 2014, and I just avoided the dark web for the next 2 years until I needed it to download a book which I could not find anywhere else. Since that incident, I've never again ventured away from my ebook websites. In hindsight, it could have been and probably was something else because Google Chrome and Skype were both open as well. But you always get that ring whenever somebody Skypes you. And I'm mostly certain my computer was not on mute because I always listen to iTunes while on the internet or doing anything that doesn't have audio itself. So I continue to steer clear of any more exploring on the deep web.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a like a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.